The message of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, leads us to life. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. My name is Rod Hembry.
I'm Janice.
And this is Bible Discovery, discovering the Word of God, the Bible, the 66 books written by the 40 authors. And this is all with the same theme. That theme is Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about that theme in about 3 minutes' time. It's going to be very interesting as we explore 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Very interesting. Corey is here with Ryan. Corey, what's going on?
Today, I'm looking at the book of 2 Corinthians as a whole. Its authorship, its history, all of that good stuff. Ryan?
Today, I'm looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul contrasts the old covenant with the new one.
All right, very good. Look forward to that. That's going to be interesting. Janice, what are you doing?
Today, lights.
All right, very good. So take your Bible guide out. If you don't have a Bible guide, why not? But anyway, take your Bible guide out and turn to this passage today as we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, there's 12 verses here we're going to highlight.
Second Corinthians 4, 1 through 12. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 12.
Boy, I'll tell you, it's amazing. This is November, and we're coming up on the back part of the Bible, which is really interesting, the New Testament. Today we're in 2 Corinthians. And as we focus on this, let me explain to you that we're reading chapter 4, verses 1 to 12. This is very interesting. Now, the Bible, well, it seems to point to what we've come to call the age of accountability. What does that mean? Well, that means that children grow into capacity to accept or reject right and wrong. Before this point, if they were to die, they would be forgiven and accepted by Christ. At some point in our lives, we all have gotten to the point where we can determine good from evil, and there's a choice involved there. And yet, we've chosen evil, many people. When we came to Christ in repentance and belief, God changed us. God changed me. He restored me and us, those people who follow Christ, to the freedom to follow Him. It is a beautiful thing. And yet, as well, we read about it in the New Testament. Even the apostles struggled against sin. And I do too. We all do. But while we live in this fallen world, we will struggle against our own flesh, our personal ideas of lust and desires. With God's grace and power, He will overcome all in our life. Now let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and learn more about these things. That's exactly what Paul did. Remember, the first letter he wrote to Corinth was 1 Corinthians. And that was a hard letter because the church was in a lot of trouble. And they had to sort of gear themselves to understand that how we do things is different now with Christ. Nevertheless, the second letter is very different, very interesting. Now, let's focus our attention. By the way, get your Bible guide. If you don't have a Bible guide for November, why not? You can call us or write to us, or you can go to Bible Discovery TV. Remember, it cost us money to send it to you and print it, but whatever the Lord speaks to your heart, that's great. But it's important to remember that you can get a hold of your Bible guide. You can, you're seconds away. If you go to BibleDiscoveryTV.com, literally, you're seconds away. Anyway, let's pray. Father, help us today to hear 2 Corinthians 4, verses 1 to 12. This is your words. We need to hear your words in our hearts, not my ideas or our ideas. We need to hear your ideas. In the name of Jesus Christ, and we said together, amen. Here's what the Bible says. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation, making known the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. That is a very important statement. Listen to that. But even if our gospel, our good news, is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the gods of this age have blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Verse 5. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, ourselves and ourselves, your bondservants, for Jesus' sake. Boy, that's important. Remember this, the message of Jesus Christ leads us to life. God's good news is a light that shines in the darkness. God's good news is a light that shines in the darkness. Now, this program, Bible Discovery TV, is a television program that's on the internet and everywhere else. And a lot of people would say, oh, yeah, I see that. It's, you know, Rod and his kids and his wife, and they're the main personality. No, then I pray that the main personality of this program is the Word of God and Jesus Christ. That's what I pray. We don't need to promote ourselves. Let me tell you, I used to work in an agency years ago, and that's not what they say. Got to promote yourself, promote yourself. No, we promote Jesus Christ, beloved. We promote his word. That's what we're doing here. We're focused on his word. That's what we're saying. So it's very important to do that. All right, let's go on. We read ahead and it says, for it is God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Okay, did you hear that? The Lord makes us a living example of who he really is. We are Christ-like people living in the ways of Jesus Christ. Now, I try to be that way. If you come to Orangeville, come to the church, Good Friends Fellowship or the Uptown Theater, that's where we're at, the Uptown Church. And you come and you travel north, just north of Toronto, Ontario, and you meet me there on Sunday. I will try to be like I am on television because that's who I am. And I am on television who I am in person. And I hope and I pray that God changes me. I pray that the Lord becomes a part of me so that it's not me you see, but it's the work of Jesus Christ in me that you see. That's what I pray. Lord, don't help them not to see me, but help them to see you. In the name of Jesus Christ, very important. Paul continues on and he says, but we have this treasure. That's what he says. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard-pressed on every side, listen carefully, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, yet not in despair. Perplexed or persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Listen carefully. Always carrying about in the body of the dying, the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Jesus may also be made known in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be made known in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us. But let me tell you something. Life is in you. You know, Paul had this right. The Lord makes known his power and grace through our lifestyle. Let us live to please God. Beloved, we have to live to please the Lord. We have to live to please God. So important. And we have to understand that. Leaders, pastors, listen to me. There's a lot of pastors who watch this program. They write me and they talk to me, but listen to me, pastors. We've got to understand that if the church is not run, we don't own the church. The church is driven by Jesus Christ. He is the Lord. He is our Savior. It is Jesus. And may Jesus be made known in our lives. And so we must change, not get lost in all these evil things of the world, tricks and enemy and all that stuff. We need to be focused on Jesus Christ. Put our mind there. Lord, help us today. Help us. Judgment begins at the house of God. Help us today, Lord, to follow you always in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
All right, well, today we study 2 Corinthians, and it opens in a similar way to 1 Corinthians, except the secondary author is switched. So in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is in Corinth. Now, in 1 Corinthians, it was Paul, an apostle by the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. With that in mind, let's jump in to look at some of the history and authorship of 2 Corinthians.
Corinth was one of the wealthiest cities in the Roman Empire and carried a notorious reputation of corrupt morality and hedonistic lifestyles. It's no surprise then that after the Apostle Paul's foundational visit to Corinth, that the Bible contains two of his letters to Corinth and mentions two more. In 1 Corinthians 5 verse 9, we have reference to a letter that Paul had already written to the Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians, we see reference to another letter that Paul wrote in between 1 and 2 Corinthians. Clearly, Paul was having to deal with many issues as the converted Corinthian Christians learned to live out their faith in their corrupt culture. 2 Corinthians also indicates that Paul made three visits to Corinth. The book of Acts records Paul's two main trips. First, his foundational year-and-a-half-long visit preaching the gospel and helping the new converts establish a body of believers, and his final visit after the book of 2 Corinthians. The second visit, then, alluded to in 2 Corinthians would have fit in between the visits of Acts and is described as painful and changing Paul's plans to visit once more. We don't know very much about Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, except that it dealt with sexual sin and proper conduct for Christians. The book of 1 Corinthians deals with many lifestyle issues as well. Paul deals with divisions in the church, prideful leaders. He deals with sexual sin and lawsuits that had crept into the church. And he also responds to a letter that the Corinthians had written to him. His third letter is also not included in the New Testament. We can deduce from 2 Corinthians that it was extremely unpleasant and dealt with disciplining someone who had directly opposed Paul. 2 Corinthians then picks this issue back up and urges the church to accept and forgive the man as he has properly responded to discipline. The rest of 2 Corinthians seems to be a defense of Paul's ministry and a condemnation of false teachers. All in all, the picture that develops is one of a Christian group struggling to follow Christ, pushing towards the goal of not following their old culture, but following God's.
So there we go, a quick look at 2 Corinthians. Hopefully this sets us up a little bit better with a little bit more understanding as we continue to move forward into the rest of this really interesting New Testament book.
Yeah, very good. Thank you, Corey, very much. This is the 2026 calendar. It is for the month. Now, I'm going to open this to the month of May because there's a picture here from Israel from Masada. Now, this is from down on the off of Masada looking towards Jordan. So that is all the pictures in here are from Israel. And this is our offer to you. If you wanted, it has our reading assignments here and all of that. For $35, you can get your copy right for it. And the 2026 calendar, wall calendar. Thank you. All right, Ryan,
and
go.
Every picture for each month that coordinates with the Bible guide.
Cover. Yep. So get the Bible guide too. That's very important. All right, Ryan, go.
All right, well, my focus today is on 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And in this passage, Paul compares and contrasts God's old covenant with his new one in Christ Jesus. And Paul makes some really, really important distinctions. Check it out.
In the third chapter of Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth, he makes several important contrasts between God's old covenant given through Moses and his new and superior covenant in Jesus Christ. He begins by noting that while the old covenant was physically engraved on tablets of stone by God, the new covenant is spiritually engraved on tablets of human hearts by God's Holy Spirit. Paul probably has in mind here the prophecy of Jeremiah 31, which promises a new covenant where the will of God will be written on people's hearts. Paul understands the church as the fulfillment of this prophetic vision. Paul also notes that while the old covenant brought condemnation and death, the new covenant brings righteousness and gives life, because, as Dr. Charles Stanley puts it, the law revealed God's righteous requirements to us, standards we could never hope to meet on our own. The Spirit, on the other hand, gives us life because he draws us to faith in Christ's provision on the cross. A third contrast Paul makes is that while the old covenant certainly came with glory, the new covenant came with greater glory, surpassing glory even. Although the old covenant came with such glory that the Israelites could not even look upon the radiance of Moses' face, by comparison, the new covenant came with even more glory. These lesser and greater glories can be likened to the lesser and greater lights. The moon is radiant, but if the sun is up, the moon no longer seems bright. Another thing Paul notes is that while the old covenant was temporal and passes away, the new covenant lasts. Even though the face of Moses shone radiantly with the glory of the Lord as a result of being in his presence, this glory eventually faded. However, the glory of the new covenant doesn't fade away, but rather increases until the believer gains through resurrection a glorious body like Christ. According to Paul, this fading glory of the old covenant is actually the main reason why Moses veiled his face from the people, that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. Sadly, this veil, which symbolizes a spiritual dulling or blindness and even unbelief, still remains on Israel to this day because they have rejected the one who took the veil away. As Paul says, this same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament because the veil is taken away only in Christ. As a matter of fact, Moses did not have the confidence or boldness of Paul because the old covenant was veiled. It was shadowy. It was made up of types, pictures, symbols, and mystery. Moses communicated the glory of the old covenant with a certain obscurity. In contrast, believers under the new covenant can be bold and confident because the obscure types and shadows have been gloriously revealed in the substance and person of Jesus Christ. In this spirit of boldness, John MacArthur actually goes so far as to say that without Christ, the Old Testament is unintelligible. But when a person comes to Christ, the veil is lifted and his spiritual perception is no longer impaired. With the veil removed, believers are able to see the glory of God revealed in Christ. They understand that the law was never given to save them, but to lead them to the one who would.
Now, regarding this unveiling, I really love how the late Dr. Charles Stanley described what Jesus accomplished. He wrote this: "On the Day of Atonement, the high priest would enter in behind the veil of the Holy of Holies and stand before God. No one else was permitted to enter. Bells lined the hem of his garment, and a rope was tied around his ankle. So if he were to die in the Lord's divine presence, the other priests could remove him from the Holy of Holies without going in themselves. But during the crucifixion, the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom, showing that Jesus' death on the cross removed the separation between God and man. Today, when we turn to him in faith, God welcomes us into his presence, and there is no need to fear." Hallelujah.
Yeah, Charles Stanley, it was awesome. What a great guy. He and, of course, there's just all kinds of people. But anyway, we don't have time to get into that now. But anyway, go ahead, Janice.
You get yourself in
a loop. I started thinking of all these names. I thought, we'll do it another time. Go ahead, Janice.
Well, today I don't have a lot to say on this chapter, but I did call it lights. And I was trying to find in Corinthians, there was a portion that we read and Paul was saying, bear with me. It was about folly. Rod, and you were teaching on that. It was in this week that you were teaching on that. And this is kind of folly for me today as we talk about the light of Christ's gospel. And of course, we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And it is called the light of Christ's gospel. And Paul is talking about darkness and he's talking about light. And then we get to verse 6 and he says, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." We are called as Christians to be the light of this world. And we know when we teach our little kids, we sing that song, "This is the light of mine." And we're not to hide our light under a bushel, but we're to let it shine. And it got me to actually kind of giggle, Rod, because I was thinking about lights. And back in September, our family has so many birthdays and celebrations in September that we decided that we were going to celebrate them all on one day. And we had Ryan's birthday and Jasmine's birthday and your anniversary. We had Wesley's birthday. We had Matlock's birthday. We had your birthday, Rod. We had Emerson's. I did say Jasmine's, yes. We had your son Emerson's birthday and also my brother's birthday, which is the same day as your birthday and Emerson's birthday. And we decided to do it all on one day. I don't know if that was a good decision or not. And we had one cake. And I remember standing there thinking, well, what do we do for candles? How many candles do we put on this cake? And it made me, as I was reading this about lights, I brought that into my mind and I thought, candles on a birthday cake. As we move our lives forward, as we follow Christ, it's like when we age. We start off, Emerson would have had 8 candles. But Grandpa would have had 64 candles. My brother would have had 60. He turned the big 6-0. Sorry, Darren, I'm telling the world. But isn't it interesting that as we grow in our walk with God, that our light, because we allow God to work and change us in our lives, our life can become brighter, like our birthday cake holds more candles.
And you don't blow it out. You let them shine.
You let them shine. That's right. It's the opposite. Good putting that together, Rod. We don't blow out like a birthday cake where we blow out those candles.
Let them shine.
We let them shine. And that's what we need to do. We need to let our light shine. It's the light of Christ in us that we allow to shine through. And as he changes us and as we grow and we follow in him, our light shines brighter. And yes, we don't blow them out or hide them under a bushel. And just to let you know, I didn't put an accumulation of all of the birthday candles on that cake. Otherwise, we wouldn't have had any room at all. We would have had to have a fire extinguisher. I think we had one candle representing each person. But unlike the birthday cake.
We would have had over 130 candles.
A lot of candles. But I don't know. I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes my brain goes into simplicity things like this. And reading about all of these lights, I thought of our lights on a birthday cake, and that as we age, every year we add another light. Well, let's do that in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ as we let his light come into our hearts and change us and help us to grow. Let our lights that shine and glorify God shine brightly in this world.
Because every year, a candle represents every year, and every year we allow Christ to work in us. We never go a period of time without Christ being able to work in us. When we read the Bible, mm-hmm. he works in us more that year. So that's really important.
And don't let Satan it out.
Don't do it, because
don't do it. It,
and you don't have to. The Holy Spirit will keep it lit.
That's
if
right.
you stay with God and keep it lit. So that's really, really important.
There you go.
So anyway,
lights.
That's right. That's right. So anyway, keep that in mind, and we're going to focus on 2 Corinthians again tomorrow. It's going to be a very interesting day. So stay there and let your light shine. Don't let Satan blow it out. Let your light shine. Don't hide it under a bushel.
No.
Or, you know, put it somewhere else. It goes on a mountaintop. Let your light shine to the world. Today we need to pray. Thank you for joining us and being a part of us. But let's pray together. Lord, help me. Help me to follow you in all I do and all I say. Reset my life. Reset how I talk, how I act, and how I react. That's so important. So, Father, I need to become more like you, especially now when there's a revival going on around the world. Help me, Lord, to be like you, because we have to lead people to Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, amen.